Welcome to Midlife Mojo, the podcast all about how to be fit and flourish in your 50s with me, your host with over 25 years of experience in the health, fitness, and wellness industry, Lisa Dupree. We'll be talking about all the things that support living life to the fullest. Let's dive in. Hello, hello. Welcome to today's episode of Midlife Mojo, Ask a Health Coach, where I give candid, honest answers to questions I frequently get asked in my role as a health and wellness coach, health educator, and exercise physiologist. Today, I'm answering two questions related to eating. What's the best diet? And how can I eat to be healthier? So let's dive right into that first question. What's the best diet? Or something like, what do you think of keto, intermittent fasting, plant-based, or whatever the most current popular diet is? And even, what diet do you recommend? It's some sort of variation of asking about a diet to follow. This is the question I want to address today. So when I get asked this, it really is the person asking, you know, what kind of dietary camp or what is my diet philosophy? And I feel like that sometimes people just want that simple answer. They just want me to say, go eat this way or follow this diet for now. And honestly, it's just not that simple as much as we would all like it to be. The best description of my dietary philosophy would be nutritionally agnostic. So that's just my term for someone who doesn't subscribe to any one particular dietary philosophy as being the best. And there's also, you know, in my opinion, no one best diet. You know, one size does not fit all. And the newest diet that you see being touted in your social feed isn't the magic bullet that it's being marketed as. Just about any dietary protocol that restricts overall caloric intake can result in weight loss if you follow it and follow it consistently. As a health coach and an educator, I always go deeper into what someone is looking for as an outcome when they ask this question. So going deeper, is it usually more about losing body fat while maintaining muscle? Or is it about building muscle while, you know, continuing to look more toned? It could be that, you know, somebody wants to have less aches and pain, so carrying around less overall mass would be helpful. They want to have more energy, or it could be they just want to feel more comfortable in their body and have more confidence. The end goal, that desired outcome, really matters and has a big influence on choosing the most effective eating pattern style. Because all diets have their pros and cons. And you know, what works for one person may not work well for another. Also, a way of eating that worked for someone in the past won't necessarily work as well moving forward. So that's why it's important to go a little bit deeper, figure out what is the really that desired outcome and what are they looking for. This is especially important as a factor in midlife. I've seen this play out in my own life. My ability to change my body composition in my 20s and 30s with just a few minor tweaks of my eating and exercise routine just isn't doing the same thing. It's not having the same impact on my body composition now that I'm in my 50s. And this is largely due to metabolism changes, hormonal changes, loss of muscle mass over the past few years from sitting way too much, and probably even, you know, changes that I have made in my eating patterns over the years by not eating dairy and gluten due to some gut issues that plagued me for years. Also, when thinking about the answer to this question, it's important to note that as a health coach who is not a registered dietitian, it is outside my scope of practice to prescribe a specific meal plan or recommend a specific dietary protocol. However, it is appropriate and effective as a health coach to work with clients to help them find the approach to eating that works best for them to reach their current goals and desired outcomes, whether it is doing something like trying to go gluten-free or dairy-free, eating paleo, vegan, you know, looking at high carb versus low carb, intermittent fasting, you know, or just eating on a budget, or, you know, kind of any of those things. Usually it's really a combination of elements that ends up working out. It's not usually just one diet. You know, our physiology is amazingly adaptable. Our bodies can acclimate to a vast array of eating patterns and dietary compositions. So in short, the answer is it's absolutely possible for you to get lean and strong on a plant-based diet or a meat-based diet. You can improve your health by eating, you know, all organic and free-range foods, as well as by eating conventionally grown foods. And you can lose weight on a food budget that's, you know, for somewhat frugal, and you eat simple meals, or you have a huge budget and you're eating gourmet meals. So stay tuned to the end, where I'm going to give you some other things to consider when choosing a diet or figuring out what diet is best for you. So the next frequently asked question I get is, you know, I know I need to eat better. What can I eat that's healthy? Or how can I eat to be healthier? And, you know, the short answer is it depends. It depends on what somebody is currently eating, what their eating habits are at the moment, what they have been in the past, and then what, again, is the goal for eating healthier? What is that? What does healthy look like for that person? Specifically for my clients in midlife, there are a few areas in eating patterns and nutrition where I tend to see gaps that could be holding them back from being healthier and feeling better. And the first one is not eating adequate amounts of protein. The second one is eating ultra-processed, sugar-laden foods and what I like to call food-like substances. The third one is eating a lot of inflammatory foods. And the fourth one is over-consuming alcohol. So adequate intake of the macronutrient protein is important, especially as we get to middle age. Getting enough protein is vital to maintaining muscle health as we age, and more muscle means better overall body composition. And body composition is just our ratio of lean mass to fat mass. A large percentage of adults don't get the recommended dietary allowance of protein, which is 0.8 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight. And that's the same as 0.36 grams of protein per pound of body weight. Inadequate protein intake is especially problematic for middle-aged women because females typically have less muscle mass than males and are at greater risk for developing sarcopenia, which is age-related loss in skeletal muscle. This is important because loss of muscle impacts someone's ability to actually lead an active lifestyle, and it contributes to an increased risk for obesity and osteoporosis, which can overall reduce quality of life. So in addition to getting adequate amounts of protein, reducing the amount of these ultra-processed foods is something that can support overall health. These processed food items tend to make up a large portion of our calories and can make up even like half of our daily calories. So these foods contain a lot of different added ingredients. Think sugar, salt, different types of fats, flavorings, preservatives, and they are highly manipulated. I think of these things that aren't naturally occurring, like Cheetos and Oreos. These foods are engineered to be very tasty. They are highly palatable, and they really don't fit into any of the recommended categories of foods on Harvard's Healthy Eating Plate. And those categories are lean proteins, fruit, vegetables, whole grains, and healthy fats. So examples of highly processed items are soft drinks, chips, candy, ice cream, you know, those artificially colored and, you know, extra sweetened breakfast cereals, chicken nuggets, hot dogs, french fries, things like that. Processed foods also contain ingredients that activate the inflammatory process directly. For example, processed sugars trigger the release of these inflammatory messengers called cytokines. Trans fats trigger systemic inflammation, and that's just like system-wide, body-wide inflammation. And refined carbohydrates are high glycemic index foods that fuel the production of these end products. They're advanced glycation end products, and these stimulate inflammation in our bodies. So thinking of, you know, what do these substances are doing in our bodies? Is it adding nutrition? No, probably not. And it's causing some inflammation. Other types of foods that cause inflammation can include red meat, bacon, like highly refined grains, like white bread, white rice, pasta, and fried foods as well. Alcohol can also cause inflammation. You know, in addition, it's fairly calorically dense. Alcohol contains 7 calories per gram, and this comes close to the same caloric density as fat, which is 9 calories per gram. And alcohol is almost double the caloric density of carbohydrates and proteins, which both are 4 calories per gram. And what's more is alcohol is often combined with inflammation-enhancing substances. So when alcohol is mixed with sugary juices, flavored syrups, soft drinks, things like that, alcoholic drinks really become a double whammy for inflammation. So when considering, you know, what is the best diet to choose or what's going to be the best way for me to eat healthier, I'd like to offer you 3 questions to consider and answer for yourself to help navigate these decisions. First question, does it match your physiology and nutrient needs? So it's useful to know your total daily energy expenditure. Total daily energy expenditure, or TDEE for short, is an estimation of how many calories you burn per day. It includes your resting metabolic rate plus any activities of daily living plus exercise. And there are several TDEE calculators online that you can use. This calculation takes into consideration gender, age, height, weight, and activity level. There are even some calculators out there that have the option to include body fat, which can actually help enhance the accuracy of your calculation. Your TDEE is important to know if you are looking to lose body fat, and you're also looking to maintain your muscle mass when you're doing that, or gain overall muscle mass. In general, you want to eat in the ballpark of somewhere like 15 to 20% less than your total daily energy expenditure. So you want to keep in mind, you don't want to go below your basal metabolic rate, because your basal metabolic rate, it's also abbreviated BMR, is basically how many calories it takes a day just to keep you alive and fuel all your body processes. So another thing to think about with physiology and nutrient needs is overall portion size. Knowing how much you're eating is key to being able to stay within range for your overall nutrient needs. It's a good idea, if you haven't done this in a while, or if you have never done it at all, is take, you know, a couple of days, track the foods you're eating. So the types of foods that you're eating and the amounts that you're eating. And just to see what your typical portions are. And this is a great way to find out if you're eating too little, if you're eating too much, or if you're eating just enough. And also by using these different kinds of apps, like MyFitnessPal and Chronometer are 2 that I really like. when you enter these foods in, it'll actually give you a breakdown of the different nutrients in your diet. So you can see very clearly if your nutrient intake is aligned with your goals, and it gives you important data, important information to be able to have as a starting point to move forward. All right, another question to consider is, does it include foods you enjoy enough to follow the diet consistently? So it's important because consistency is key here. If you've chosen an eating style or a diet that has foods that are included frequently, or it's highlighting foods that you don't like, or they're going to be hard to get, you know, it is going to be very difficult to work with that and stay on it consistently. So you want to be able to have foods that you enjoy eating, and you want to include the foods that you want to eat. So thinking about, like, what is most important for you to be able to have, and how can you work them into your regular eating plan so you don't feel deprived and you're able to stick with any changes long enough to see the results that you are looking for. And the third thing is it realistic for you in terms of your current life and responsibilities? So you want to set yourself up for success by figuring out if a diet or specific eating plan fits into your current life. And, you know, if you can make reasonable accommodations for it to fit. So this process is going to look different for, you know, somebody that's in a relationship and they have kids at home, compared to somebody who is single and commutes to and from work 5 days a week. And that's going to look different from somebody who is working from home full time. So it's worth taking the time to consider, you know, does this really fit with my current life and responsibilities, or how realistic is it for me to make these changes so that it fits into your lifestyle and you're not taking on way too much change at once? So it takes some know-how and exploration to figure out the best eating style and pattern for reaching your goals related to, you know, what you want to eat and your dietary choices. So today I touched on a few gaps, like protein, processed foods, and inflammatory foods, and things to consider when deciding on an eating style or diet, like your physiology, your nutrient needs. Is it going to be something you can do consistently? And do you have the flexibility to fit it in with your current responsibilities? So whether you're looking to make self-directed changes, or you have a diet plan from a clinician or a dietitian that you want to implement, working with a health coach provides the space and structure for making that feasible. Exploring what's working and what's not working, along with problem solving and accountability, so that you really are able to fit this in, work at it consistently, and, you know, achieve your desired outcome and overall health goals. Well, that is it for today. Thank you for listening, and bye for now. If this episode has been helpful to you, I'd love to hear from you. If there's a topic you'd like to hear more about, send it my way. Email me at lisa@lisadupreecoaching.com or connect with me on Instagram @lisadupreecoaching. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.